to Rhianna was she was walking up a footpath in Buckingham, Burnley Close, and to a local chip shop she was walking, and she was mowed down by a cyclist. He mounted the path and he hit her. She fell back, hit her head. She ended up going to Coventry Hospital, and where we lost her 6 days later. And all, like you say, all he got was a fine.
I remember talking to you at the time, and you said the cyclist, didn't the cyclist shout something to Rhiannon?
Yes, he did. He shouted, "Move, I'm not stopping," and he literally did that. He did not use his brakes. And the road was so wide. The judge even said he had oceans of room. I find this still unbelievable today, thinking of it.
So when the fine came out and the prosecution was given at £2,000, what was the feeling that went through your mind?
Devastation. You know, a young girl's lost her life, and it was just, her life was worth the fine. It's an insult. It is an insult to Rhiannon.
And since then, you have been campaigning tirelessly for better legislation. How is the campaign going?
Yes, we have. It's been very good, actually. You know, obviously our MPs, we had first John Burko, then, you know, we've had two other people. Now we've got Andrea. And, yes, they are doing the campaign very well for me, actually. Without them, I wouldn't have got this far as what I have today.
Well, stay listening, because joining us on the line now is the MP Mike Penning, MP for Hemel Hempstead, and also the Minister for Transport. Morning to you. Thank you for joining us. This is obviously a case that you're aware of, and we spoke earlier on about the potential for this new offence of death by dangerous cycling coming in that's seriously being considered by the government. How likely are we, do you think, that we might see this?
Well, we feel, by the way, good morning. Good morning to the, and I've met the family, and I know she's on, Mrs. Benninger, good morning. And we're going to meet later on today, which would be good news. I think we accept as a new government that the legislation isn't fit for purpose, and we know that the punishment isn't fit in the crime. And we are looking very, very closely as to how we can change that. Generally, rule bills tend not to be the right methodology for that, but we will find a way of making sure that the punishment fits the crime, I promise.
And just to make this clear, so that listeners as well, who might equally be a bit confused by this, how do we get to a stage by the interpretation of the law where if a cyclist, by the sounds of things, did have clear intent, the judge's summing up seemed to suggest that the fine was of £2,000, how has this come to light?
This is just out-of-date legislation. I mean, when the legislation was put on the statute book, you know, no one would have ever dreamt that someone would intentionally go to injure or kill someone by cycling on the streets or on the pavements.
But I wonder, though, what you know, it's all very well coming up with new laws all the time to deal with these things, but in a sense, if you took the bicycle out of the way, out of the case, why is it relevant? If I did something like that and I wasn't on a bicycle, why does the bicycle confuse matters?
Well, I'm not a lawyer, and it's for the, but it is for the judges to interpret what Parliament has decided that the law should be. And what the judges are doing now is interpreting it in a way which isn't fit for purpose in the 21st century. So it's not for us to tell the judges what their decisions they should come to, but we need to have a legislation on the statute book which actually makes sure that we, that Parliament, have told the judges what we expect from them, and we do not expect them to give down such lenient sentences as this case. And if the law is the reason they're doing that, then we need to change the law as we go forward.
Very often when we have these conversations, it inspires people to talk about, certainly from a motorist's point of view, that cyclists seem to have no tax, no insurance, and no way of registering who they are. Would you like to see some of those changes? Because presumably, without some of the ways of highlighting and identifying cyclists, this will be a very difficult law to keep in check.
I think that's a completely different issue. This issue is about someone who, with intent, and that's what the judge said, went to injure people.
But a cyclist who then cycles away, how do you know who they are without any kind of...
Well, we don't have an ID system in this country. That's exactly the same as if someone attacks someone else. We find out who they are, and it can be done. I think it's a completely different situation if you get into the arguments of whether cyclists should be insured or not, because cyclists get injured on the highways of this country every single day as well. And the cycling lobby will come to me quite rightly and say, how do you protect us as well as protecting people like the family here that have lost their loved one because of a mad person that happened to be on a bike?
Well, we know that, obviously, as you mentioned yourself, that you're meeting Diana Bennett a bit later on. I mean, Diana, from what you've heard, do you feel reasonably confident?
Yes, I do feel confident now. Like we say, it's been 4 years since we've lost Rhiannon, and things are taking shape now. So, yes, we are feeling confident, very pleased with what's happening.